All right, if you will, please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah, chapter number 30. Let's see if the Old Testament is still God's Word. Let's see if the Old Testament has anything in it for us today. How many of you believe that it does? Isaiah chapter 30. The prophet Isaiah is speaking to the children of God, the children of Israel, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, concerning their present circumstances. And if you go back and read earlier in Isaiah, you'll find that God had said to them that because of some of the things that they had done and because of their turning away from Him and so on, that retribution was going to come upon them and travail, tribulation and difficulty was going to come upon them. And He's telling them here what they have done and why they're in the state they're in. But if all you hear today as we share these scriptures is a piece of the history out of the nation Israel, you will benefit zilch. This is not a history lesson this morning. I am not a history teacher. I do not have a degree in history, have no intention of teaching history, however wonderful it may be. God has not anointed me to teach the history of His people. He's anointed me to preach His alive Word. And so this which is coming this morning is not a history lesson for you. It's instruction, guidance, and the wisdom of God alive for you and for me today. So listen. Now I want to say to you also that God would not have me minister this passage of Scripture if there was no one here this morning that needed to hear it. There are several, at least, who need to hear this passage of Scripture this morning, and it will be profitable for everyone else who is here, because the Lord said that His Word, when it went forth, would not return void, but it would prosper. So if you are here today, regardless of the circumstances that brought you here, if you're here, this Word is for you. So I don't want anybody to sit here this morning and say, well, that sounds real good, but he's sure not preaching to me. He's sure not giving me anything today. God wants you to hear His Word. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be an help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south. Into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence cometh the young and old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent, they will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. Now, Father, we're trusting You today to bring forth the exposition of this Scripture in accordance with Your divine plan. And I ask You, Father, to order every word, every phrase, every inflection, Father, that would glorify You and Your Word, and that it would set free Your people. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to ask you a question today. Are you confused? Are you confused in any area of your life? Is confusion reigning in your circumstances anywhere? Does the peace of God seem to be for you elusive? You can't seem to get that deep settled peace in a particular circumstance or situation in which you find yourself. You just can't seem to get settled on it. One day you're going this way and another day you're going that way. One day you think that this is the right thing to do. The next day you think this is the right thing to do. And you just can't seem to get a hold. And it's from one place to another, confusion, confusion, confusion. Many of God's people are exactly that way. Exactly that way. Now the Word of God tells us why we get like that. And it's right here in verse 3. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. God's word says that the source of confusion is putting your trust and your confidence in anything other than Him. If you are confused today, beloved, it is because your confidence and your trust is not in God. It's that simple. I encounter this all the time in personal counseling and talking with people. They don't know which way to go. They think this is the right thing to do, and they've talked to this person, and this person says, well, this is what you ought to do. And they talk to this agency, and they say, this is what you ought to do. And then they talk, read this book, and this book says, well, this is what I ought to do. And then they do this for a while, and then they do this for a while, and then they do this for a while. And they go from pillar to post to pillar to post to pillar to post, and finally wind up in anguish. When God said, your strength is to stand still and put your trust in me. Now, some might read this passage of Scripture and say, well, he's not really talking to us. He's talking to sinners. He's talking to unbelievers. But I want you to read the very first verse. He says, woe unto rebellious what? Children. Woe unto you who are my children, who rebel against me, and you take your counsel, but not of me. You listen to everybody else. You listen to everything else. You listen to what the world says. You even listen to what well-meaning Christians say, but you don't listen to me, beloved. You think he knows what's right. You think she knows what's right. You put your confidence in this great man of God. You put your confidence in this beloved sister. And you wind up adding sin on top of your sin. He says you take counsel, but you don't take it of me. He said, I've shown you what to do, but you won't do it. You've rebelled against it and you've taken another way. You've taken a covering, but it's not of my spirit. You've said, I'll take this protective covering and I'll put it over top of me, but it's not my spirit. He said, when you do that, you're adding sin to sin. What's he mean by that? What's he mean that you're piling sin on top of other sin? In Romans, the 14th chapter, the 23rd verse, Paul said these words, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, you can call it what you want, but the Word of God calls it sin, beloved, and God hates it. And what you're saying, you see, when you do not operate from faith, is, God, I don't trust you. I don't believe that you'll do what you said. It's taking too long. I'm going a different direction. I'm going to plan B or C or D or J. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm going to tell you this morning, beloved, that if you want God to come through for you in your circumstances, you better have plan A, and that's all. And plan A is put your trust in the Lord. Psalm 125 said, they that trust in the Lord shall what? Fold up when the going gets tough? No. Shall be as Mount Zion that cannot be removed. Now, either that's true, or the rest of it is not worth the paper that it's printed on. You might as well chuck it all away. You're wasting your time here today. If that scripture is not true, they that put their trust in the Lord, not in Egypt or in their horses. He says they went down to Egypt and they didn't ask at my mouth. They're going to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. They're going to trust in his protective covering, the shadow of Egypt. He said, that covering shall be your confusion. That very covering shall be your confusion. Isaiah chapter 59 is a very interesting passage. I'm going to read, it's worth reading. I'm just going to read the whole thing there, 8 verses. Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 8. Now, if you listen carefully this morning, this will help you. This will help you. Now, the Lord has spoken to us this morning. He's spoken to us powerfully by the supernatural gift of tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. And he says that the times will get difficult, that we're going to face difficult times, but we should fear not. Why? Because he's faithful and we trust in him, we'll not fear. God's trying to prepare us. The reason he has me ministering this word to you today is that you need to be prepared. I need to be prepared. Some of us are in the midst of it right now and have missed the mark. And we're struggling. We're fretting. We're frustrated. God did not ordain that. And if that's your situation, you're operating out of the will of God. If that's your situation, you're in confusion. It's because you have not taken counsel from God. It's that clear. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, he said, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. What's wrong then? How come I'm not getting my answers? How come these things aren't developing for me properly? How come I'm going from one place to another and I'm so confused? But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. What sin? An unwillingness to believe in God and trust him. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, and your tongues have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They're so concerned, you see, to get at somebody else. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth. That which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. The webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. Now listen to this. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths, and whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Now, it's just as clear as the nose on your, well, on my face. You can't see your own nose very well, but you can see mine. It's as clear as the nose on my face. If you do not put your trust in God, if I will not put my trust in God, then I'm going in a crooked path, and the Word says I will not know peace. You can come to the altar of God and request prayer. You can have hands laid upon you. You can get agreement in accordance with Matthew 18, 19. You can do all the things the Word of God says. But God's Word says that if you're walking in a crooked path, you ain't going to get it. And that's why some of you have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And you're still confused. You're still confounded. You're still messed up in that situation. It's because you're operating on plan B, or you're operating on plan C, or you're operating on plan Z. Take counsel of me, saith the Lord. Take counsel of me. I turn back there to where we were, Isaiah 30. I want to show you something. You're right in the neighborhood. Look over in Isaiah 31. I think some of you will be able to relate to this. Open your hearts. Open your spirits. Understand this morning. The Lord does not share this word with you, nor do I allow it to flow through me in order to bring you under condemnation in any way. But I take the words of the Lord Jesus, that if you'll continue in my word, then shall ye be my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now that's why this message gets preached. That's why I let it come. That's why the Spirit of God is bringing it today, so that we'll have freedom, so that we'll know what to do. God's not going, you see, if you're off in some kind of a dumb thing, off trusting in the shadow of Egypt, God's not going to come down and just gonna stroke you real nice and pet you real good, see, and just leave you in your misery. He'll come and he'll chuck you once to get your attention, you see. He's saying, now look, do this. Verse 1, chapter 31. Listen carefully. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay, in other words, put their trust on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Now some of you may be saying, well, I don't understand that. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm putting my trust in the Lord. No, you're not if you're putting your trust in something else. Do you hear what I'm saying? Did you go home? Did I step on somebody? You are not trusting in the Lord if you are trusting in something or someone else. You're not. I don't care what you think. I don't care what somebody else has told you. I don't care what the devil has whispered to you. You're not. Yet he also is wise, that is God, and he will bring evil, he will allow tribulation to come, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Did you know that God's word is working against you if you're not trusting in him? It's not only he's neutral, his word's working contrary. Now the Egyptians are men and not God. And their horses are flesh and not spirit. And when the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is holpen shall fall down, and they shall all fail together. Jesus said, when a blind man leads another blind man, they both fall into the ditch. And this is exactly what happens. And beloved, this happens within the body of Christ, within the church. Oh, you mean within a charismatic, spirit-filled church? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You mean another Christian could do me that way? Oh, yes. And not know it? Oh, yes. What's going to happen to us? You're both going to fail together. Does it say that or doesn't it? Is that what it says? That's what it says. Psalm 118, verses 8. Let me say to you that if you're in this situation today, it's because God loves you. It's because God cares about you. It's because God will do anything for you that he's speaking to you this way. Verse number 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. In the 49th chapter of the book of Isaiah, third verse. He's talking about those that will trust in God. And the kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. Thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. They shall not be confounded. They shall not be confused. They shall not be disappointed. They shall not be ashamed if they will wait for me. If they will stand still and put their trust and their confidence in me. If they'll believe that I'm stronger, that I'm more able, that I'm more powerful than their situation, than their circumstances, than their enemy. If they'll wait for me, they will not be ashamed, God said. Now that's the same God that wrote that word that said, he that believeth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now we believe that part, don't we? Then why won't we believe the other? Why won't we wait? Why won't we trust in God? Why do we need all these other things to trust in instead of him? Now I'm going to say this to you. You've heard me to say that I do not believe that the church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to go into the great tribulation that is going to come to try the people that dwell upon the earth. I do not believe that. I know there are some that are teaching it. I do not believe that. But I do believe that there is every possibility that the church of Jesus Christ can go into distress and persecution and tribulation without entering the great tribulation. You know that those Christians that are living in Soviet Russia today, even the ones that are living in Spain, beloved. Now, if you'd ask them what life is like, they say, we're in a great tribulation. Now, they're not. But it seems like they are, because there's great distress and great persecution and tribulation, but it's not the great tribulation. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you and I enter into a time of persecution, into a time of distress, into a time of tribulation, you will need to know how to trust God in order to survive. You dads are going to have to learn how to trust God in order to put bread on the table so your children don't starve to death. You mothers and fathers are going to have to learn how to believe God for your kids because you won't have doctors to take them to. Free ones like we do today. How long ago was it gas was 20 cents a gallon? And now it's almost $1.20. And every day it's going up, 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 up. The Word of God says that in the end of time that fear will strike men's hearts. Ought not to strike your heart, beloved, if your heart is fixed upon God. But we're going to have to learn how to trust our God. We're in school, don't you understand? We must learn while the consequences are not too grave. People try to learn how to try to believe for healing from a cancer when they can't get healed from a headache. How are you going to do that? People trying to believe God for a house when they haven't learned how to believe him for a loaf of bread yet. How are you going to do that? People out trying to do, the Bible says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also do, and greater works shall he do. People out trying to do the greater works and they're not doing the works yet. Well, I want to do greater works than Jesus and haven't learned how to do the things he did. That seems to me to be the place to start, don't you think? Trust in the Lord. Let's read again out of chapter 30. Now, God's not playing around. He is serious. He's mighty serious. You listen now to this, beginning in verse 8. Chapter 30, verse number 8. This is what he says people are like who will not trust him. Now, go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. In other words, God's not changing his mind on this. If it was this way when Isaiah wrote it, it's this way today, and it'll be this way before Jesus comes. that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. They won't listen to God's word. Which say, in other words, the children say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. A person who's like this, when you give them the counsel of God, they won't take it. They say, don't prophesy right things to me, give me smooth sayings and prophesy to me deceits. Get out of my way and cause the Holy One of Israel, cause God to move out of my way. I'm going to do my own thing. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, this is God's answer, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon. Therefore, this iniquity, that is unwillingness to trust God, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall. In other words, if this is the wall that you're erecting around yourself, this sin, it'll be like a wall. If you're trusting in that, it'll be like a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. So you say, well, what can I do now? I've missed it. Can I ever straighten it out? Yes. He says, in returning and in rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence. Not in attacking, but in quiet assurance shall be your strength. But you would not. But you said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee. We will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall ye flee. Till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on an hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Does it mean that if you're confused, God's forgotten you? No. He still desires to be gracious unto you, but he cannot be gracious unto you as long as you're operating on plan B. He cannot be gracious unto you as long as you have taken all of your goods and all of your riches and your possessions and you've taken them to a place of trust and confidence in someone other than God. If you're looking to some other person or some other thing for your answer, don't you expect God to be working for you, because he won't. He can't. Now turn to Isaiah 26. Here we bring it all together. Isaiah 26, verse number 3. Read this aloud with me, please. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now what does God say in his word? That if we trust in the Lord, he will keep us in what kind of peace? Perfect peace. If you are not in perfect peace, what's wrong? Say please. You're not trusting in the Lord. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter how you feel. If you do not have perfect peace concerning this situation, whatever it is, if it's a financial need, if it's a physical need, if it's an emotional need, whatever is lacking in your life, whatever is your circumstance, whatever is the thing that the enemy has brought against you to try you with, if you are not in perfect peace, you are not trusting in the Lord. I think that's terrific that God would show us that so simply. Don't you? I mean, I love this. I love this because it says to me, oh, good. It's just like driving down the street. When I see a red light, I know it means stop. When I see a green one, I don't mean to go. When I'm driving down my spiritual street, when I see peace, perfect peace, I know it means go. But when I see confusion, I know it means whoops, stop. It's like a red and a green light. It's just that simple. It's just that straightforward. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. We must. We absolutely must covenant with ourselves and with God and with one another to put our trust in God and then do so. Now turn back to Psalm 125 after what we've just shared. Psalm 125. Now let me read it for you and you just follow along. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. The rod of the wicked, confusion. The rod of the wicked, confusion. Confusion shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Unless the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do you see that? You don't have to have confusion. It's not your inheritance. It doesn't belong to you. And you don't have to have it. If you got it, you did something wrong. So you go back and find out what you did wrong. In returning and rest, trusting in Lord shall be your salvation, you see. Don't you understand that? How many of you understand that? I mean, it seems so clear to me, I just want to be sure that it's equally clear to you. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. Does that mean anything to you? Give peace, O God, to them that are trusting in you completely, who have their mind stayed on you. You see, if you're looking to your boss, if you're looking to your superior as your source of financial, the bread for your table, you're looking at the wrong guy. You're looking at the wrong one. Now, he may sign your check, but he's not your source. If he is your source, if your trust is in him, not in God, look out. The word says it's better to put your trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in men. That's clear, isn't it? As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. So that's your choice today. Do you want to be led forth like the rest of the world and operate in confusion, be confounded in every area of your life, to be operating in shame and disappointment? Or do you want the perfect peace that God has reserved for his people? That's the option. The Lord spoke this morning through the sister here to allow his peace to settle in your heart. God has given his peace. Jesus Christ broke down the wall of partition that separated us from God and from one another. God has given peace. He is our peace, Paul said. But we must allow that peace to settle in our heart. We must allow that peace to guard and garrison our minds and our spirits and protect us. We must allow it. And the way to do it, I hope you've learned something this morning. I learned something today. Really. And of tremendous importance to me personally. I hope you did too. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon the Lord because he trusteth in him. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you today that you didn't leave us to figure this all out by ourselves, but you clearly showed us in your word how to live in peace, in perfect rest, by putting our trust in you, not in other people and not in other systems. I thank you too, Father, that you have not allowed it to be easy, that we do have to wait so that we learn how to trust you in all circumstances, and that we learn how to stand still, strong and confident on your word, that we learn how to depend upon what you said, learn how to depend on your promise, not on what we can see. And we thank you, our Father, today that you are requiring us to grow up. We thank you that you are requiring us to grow out of our diapers and our nursing bottles and to grow up in Christ to the fullness of the measure of the stature of the Lord Jesus himself, that we may take our place in the army and the family of God, ready not to be ministered to, but to minister, because we have learned how to trust you. Continue to teach us, Father. And now, Father, we take just a quiet moment, Lord. And if we've missed it, Father, if we've not been trusting you, if we've been led off, not knowing or even willingly, we want to say to you, Father, that today we return to you. Today we return and rest in you, put our confidence in you and not other things or other people. Forgive us, Lord, for not seeing you, but seeing the circumstances. Forgive us, Father, for not seeing the promise, but seeing the problem. Forgive us, Father. Cleanse us. And restore us once again to right fellowship. Cause your peace to flow in us, to drive out all confusion, all despair. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.